Well, I want to give you something from the scripture in Matthew chapter 7 tonight. That'll be at least our starting point. Matthew chapter 7. You know, anytime that we're in the Gospel of Matthew to preach a sermon, you always want to be careful that you recognize where we are doctrinally. Matthew is such a gospel written about Jesus' earthly ministry and his eventual rule over Israel and eventually the world, and so much is taking place here that is so very much Jewish. Okay, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the Bible says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." All right, well, right away you recognize when he says this is the law and the prophets, this is something that's before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This passage of scripture that we just read here, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. It goes by a name. What's it called? The Golden Rule. The Golden Rule. Well, we understand, and we need to understand, this is not the way of salvation. The Golden Rule is not the way of salvation. However, you know, it's interesting when you, for instance, do some door knocking and you talk to somebody, they'll say, yeah, I believe I'll be in heaven when I die. Why? Well, I've been a good person and I haven't hurt anybody. I haven't done anything bad to other people, right? I don't lie to them, hadn't committed adultery, hadn't killed anybody. They're thinking Golden Rule. It's what they're thinking. But this is the law and prophets. That's Old Testament. Now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? All right. So sometimes what happens as Bible believers, sometimes what happens when we rightly divide the word of truth, we look at this and we go, well, that's not how you get saved. And we kind of overlook the intention of the verse because it doesn't apply to us doctrinally today. But I will say it does have a good spiritual application. We don't want to ignore the spiritual application of this verse. I mean, we have to remember, this was spoken by God manifest in the flesh. Whatever he meant by the verse, well, he didn't really change his attitude as it concerns our conduct with each other. His attitude is still the same. And so we should think about this passage of scripture in something other than how do you get saved. We should think about it in our conduct with each other and with other people. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, if you have an expectation that certain people should treat you a certain way, treat them the way you have an expectation that you would have them to treat you. So the question is this, and the comment is this, what would you do? That's the thought. What would you do? For example, if you were to do something that hurt somebody else or offended somebody else or took advantage of somebody else, you caused some sort of offense, would you want them to forgive you? I mean, particularly if you went and apologized, oh, I'm so sorry. Would you want them to forgive you? Of course you would. Well, then you know what? Forgive them. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye so to them. Yeah. And we have instruction on that in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 4, he tells us, you know, that we should forgive, right? He said, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Before the cross, here in Matthew chapter, you know, 6, in Matthew chapter 18, the Lord made it plain to his disciples, you forgive and my Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, my Father is not going to forgive you. And then he gives the parable. Remember, one guy had borrowed 10,000 talents. He was indebted up to 10,000 talents. And he went and he said, oh, you know, give me some time. I'll pay it all. And he was forgiven. And then somebody owed him 100 pence and he didn't forgive. And he says, you know, this is how my Father's going to treat that situation. You're going to end up paying all that he forgave you for because you didn't forgive. So that's his attitude. And so he's already forgiven us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's expecting us to be ready to forgive right away. He's already cleared us. So his attitude about forgiveness is that way. Well then, if you would want somebody to forgive you, if you cross them, you forgive them. You say, well, what if it's somebody I don't like? That doesn't matter. The principle is there, right? If you would want them to forgive you, you forgive them. All right, how about if you did something, and it was a bonehead thing. I know nobody in here has ever done something like that. Daily. Would you want them to keep it to themselves if they knew about it and you didn't really want that spread all over the place? You say, yeah, I would want them to keep that to themselves. Then keep it to yourself when they do it. Keep it to yourself when they do it. You know, we live in a day, well, we're people, so I say we live in a day and age, but it's just so easy to get a text or an email or a post on social media and remark about something and make what could have been private now public. Because you have the ease and wherewithal. But really and truly, if you don't want them telling things about you, then we should have the same mindset. You know what? I really wouldn't like them spreading that about me, so I'm not going to spread that about them. And that's really good. Why? He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Well, if it's a secret, then it shouldn't be told. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. People get hurt by the comments that are made when the news is spread. Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Christians have sort of a clever way of being able to do this too. I think, oh, so-and-so needs prayer. Did you hear what happened to his son or whatever? You know, it's like, really, you weren't really so concerned about them praying as you were to be able to tell the news, right? If you don't want to be the topic of conversation, don't make them the topic of conversation. All right. If you offended somebody, would you want them to hold a grudge against you? No. Well, then, don't hold a grudge against them. And there are a lot of scriptures on these as well. I'm just picking out a few to mention to you because people do hold grudges. It seems like everywhere I've been, you have friends that have done the same thing. You hear people say, oh, that person, I'd never. That's a grudge. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I realize, again, it's in James. I realize where the doctrinal application is. But practically speaking, do you really want to wake up in the morning thinking about that thing that happened 20 years ago? Hanging on to a grudge will lead to bitterness, and bitterness leads to no good. Would you want them to retaliate against you? Well, then, don't retaliate against them. Proverbs, if you read the one today, I'm just quoting these to expedite the delivery of the message and make one simple point. The golden rule is a good principle to follow. Treat others the way you want to be treated. In Proverbs chapter 24, the Bible says this, be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. Don't say that. Paybacks. I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Well, golden rule, you know what that is? That's like the iron rule, not the golden rule. Well, he did it to me, and if that's what he expects, I'll do it back to him. No, you set the standard. If you wouldn't want them to retaliate, then don't you retaliate. You set the standard. You live at the high bar. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. You know what happens when you don't retaliate, but you pray every night that God will? You know, when he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You're like, it's payday, Lord, it's time for you to repay. You know, the truth of the matter is, God does not have to vindicate you by hurting them. He doesn't. You say, well, that'll show up at the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe not. Well, I know, but you know what they did? I know. Do you know what they did to our Savior? And he didn't. So we have to be careful with these things. The principle of the golden rule has nothing to do with salvation, but it has a whole lot to do with conduct, and the person who spoke it hasn't really changed his attitude about any of these things. I just gave you a few examples. Sometimes we do want to retaliate, don't. Sometimes we do want to go tell somebody else, do you know what so-and-so did to us? Don't ever let them do that to you. You're not really sure that you're worried about whether they lose $5 in the deal. You just want them to know how you feel about it, you know? That's what being a talebearer is about a lot in the first place. Don't hold a grudge. It's a big waste of time. And if you want them to forgive you, forgive them. You set the standard. You go high. You say, well, what's all this about? Why are we having this tonight? Because of this. The Bible shows us that compared to eternity, our life is but a vapor. And we look back over a period of time. It's like I blinked and what happened? Right? So compared to eternity, our life is but a vapor. However, you know what? Down here, our life lasts longer than you think. We do say, man, it just seems like this is Wednesday and yesterday was Sunday and tomorrow we're going to be back here again for Sunday. It seems like it moves quick. But in truth, when you get offended, when you get hurt, when somebody crosses you, that seems like it lasts a long time. Yeah. So in the ordinary process of time, you know what's going to happen? You're going to come in contact with people with whom you got crossways somewhere in the past. In other words, let's say when you're 5 years ago, something happened and you're like, I'll never see that guy again. I can't even stand him. And all of a sudden you're at a function and there he is. Could be a family function, could be something, you know, where there's business, could be HEB or Walmart. And you're looking for aisle 15 when you saw them on 7. And I'm just telling you, in the process of time, you're going to run into each other again. The quicker you forgive, when you've been crossed, the less you say about it to others, the more likely your next meeting is going to be cordial. You know, when you get hurt, you get the idea that you're always going to feel as bad as you feel when you got hurt. That it's always going to be as tender. You're always going to be as upset. And at the sight of them, you're going to feel something. May I tell you something? If you forgive, if you let it go, if you don't hold a grudge, the thought of meeting them at some function might cause this region, I'm pointing right here at my, what is this, the solar plexus? This part of my body? You might feel this tightness right here, like, oh, I'm going to see him. That doesn't have to be there. You can control that by, wouldn't you want them to be kind to you? Right? You can control that. So what you want to do is you want to recognize life when it comes to these kinds of things. I'm talking about offenses, about, you know, where you've run into somebody, you've gotten crossways with somebody, life is long. Whenever there's a family and they're trying to get through a difficult situation, you know, where they're at odds with each other over a will or an estate or an ownership or something like that, it just seems like every day is a week and every week is a month and every month is a year. It seems like this can never go away. So when it's been something bad, that all of a sudden has a tendency to slow time down and work on you. Well, if you don't hold a grudge, you're not going to get bitter. If you don't retaliate, there's a real good possibility this thing is not going to turn into a rock fight. You ever been in a rock fight? And I don't mean like when we were kids. Whenever we were kids, I hated rock fights. I mean, somehow or another, I got drawn into them. But I still have vivid memories of the stars I saw when that one rock hit me right here. It came flying over the hedge, and I mean, it beamed me, man. But here's what I know about a rock fight. You know, somebody starts it. Now you get crossways with you there. Somebody delivers the news back. Now what comes back is a bigger rock than what, you know, now it's a brick. And what goes back is a boulder, and what comes back is an avalanche. I mean, it just escalates. They always do. And so if you don't want that, then this principle of, you know what, I don't want this coming back, well, then don't throw one. Somebody said one time we got crossways over a matter. How come you're not telling everybody else what happened? I said, because if I tell you, you're going to tell somebody else, and they're going to tell somebody else. When it gets back to the person that's involved in this, the story is going to be as if I told it much bigger than I just told you. And when it comes back around, brother, I do not want that brick. I don't want it. And so this is a principle. This is a principle that we want to derive from here and recognize you are probably going to bump into this person again sometime down the road, maybe even 20 years from now. You say, yeah, but Jesus will be here before that. Well, maybe not. The guy that told me Jesus was coming told me that he was going to be here 35 years ago, and I'm really glad. You know, I didn't just sit down on top of a mountain and wait. So it could be a bit longer, and the point is you want to be able to have a cordial, you want to be able to smile when that time comes, and the way to do it is to do what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. You do to them what you would hope they would do to you. And it's going to make things a lot better the next time you see each other. It really will. You'll be a lot happier. Father, thank you for a very basic, very good principle tonight. We've had the blessing, Father, of seeing even recently in our own lives the truth of this passage of Scripture. And I pray the little bit we've passed along tonight will be something that really help our folks in their own relationships with their friends and family members and others, Lord, where these things practiced really make for better relationships. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.